Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the show today. Happy Valentine's Day. Woo! I am Priscilla Leona, producer and host of the show, which is, as you know, Question Reality. And we are coming to you live, hence all the technical difficulties today, from Los Angeles, California. Now, for 13 years, we've been providing our audience with entertainment industry career advice. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality and thinking about pursuing a career in show business, or if you're already in the entertainment industry and just interested in tips on how to elevate your career status. Perfect show for you. We're going to tell you how. Every guest, I just drain that information out for you. Now, some of the guests include, on our show include, we have Emmy winners, we have Grammy winners, we have Tony Award winners, we have reality TV stars, and then we have working professionals, and that includes producers, directors, casting directors, agents, talent managers, screenwriters, we have PR agents, publicists, actors, comedians, singers, novelists, script supervisors, stunt people, celebrity fashion designers, like we had last week, one of our favorite guests, celebrity makeup artists, we have entertainment attorneys. The list goes on and on. If they're working in the entertainment industry, we're going to have them on this show. Now, if you missed any of our shows, here are three ways that you can listen to past shows. Number one, free mobile app. You can get that, obviously, from the App Store or the Google Play Store. You can go to our archive page, which means you can listen directly from the website that you're listening to right now, LA Talk Radio. Just look for the show title, Question Reality. It's under the, I think it says Channel 1 tab, and then look for my name, Priscilla Leona, under our host tab. Also, you can go to iTunes, the Google Play Store, Stitcher.com under the podcast section and listen to us anytime, 24 hours a day. We never go away. Oh, that rhymes. I like that. I think I'm going to keep that. All right. Favor. We very kindly ask that you please subscribe to our podcast via Apple Podcasts. Everybody needs to have a little thumb these days. We just live on it. It is our world. Social media is taking over like the zombies. It is the world. And we need you to help us live in it. We are living in this world. So please go to the Apple Podcasts and give us a little subscription thumb. Finally, if you want to be booked on our show or refer someone to be a guest to promote themselves, showcase their projects or their products, and just help listeners by providing career advice, just go to our official website. Now you got to focus. Our official website title is questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com. It is not the website that you're on now. It is not. This is obviously latalkradio.com. This is the website where we air the show. So again, go to questionrealityradioshow.com, and that's where you can see our annual guest schedule. So you might want to go there and take a peek at who the upcoming guests are and check out their sites. And then you just go to the contact page, and that's where you submit to be booked on our show. And it's really, really short, easy. We just need your name, your email, your title, and your website so we can check you out. Check you out. And then we will consider you to be a guest. And that's it. That is so super easy, is it not? Yes, it is. Well, It is Valentine's Day. I think I already said Happy Valentine's Day to a million people today, but I am saying it again to you. Happy Valentine's Day, my people. I wanted to tell you, we had a wonderful guest on the show last week, if you tuned in. His name was Bernie Martin, and he is a celebrity fashion designer, and he was so kind to spend his time coming on the show, and out of the blue, he just said, you know, I would love to do a gift giveaway for one of your guests, and I said, wow, can you imagine having a shirt custom designed by a celebrity fashion designer? I mean, that's just something. It really is. So, it's going to go, and we are accepting, it's not applications, we're not doing an application, but we're just asking you to email me and then basically I forgot what the hell the rules were. Wait a minute. Wait. Okay, so all you have to do is send me an email. Here's the email, PriscillaLeona@yahoo.com. PriscillaLeona@yahoo.com. And I will put you in contact with the designer's team in Chicago, and they will start the design process. So that would be for the winner. So basically, all you have to do is go to his website, his sites, and give a little thumb. That's it. So his website is Cat2Wear, C as in cat, ATOUWEAR.com. And he's on Twitter at Cat2Wear, Facebook, Instagram, you name it, Cat2Wear. So all you have to do is go there, give a little thumb up, and then send me an email and say, I gave Bernie Martin a thumb up at Cat2Wear. And then we will put your name in a hat. And then we'll pick one, and then you will have a celebrity design your custom cool shirt. And when you go to his website, you'll see all of the cool clothes. They're like flashy and edgy, and he covers the gamut. He has everything. He's got timeless classics. He's got flashy and edgy and state of the art. Oh my God, he just rocks the boat as a designer. All right, so. Again, email me, PriscillaLeona@yahoo.com, or it could be for your mother, sister, you know, brother, aunt, uncle. It could be for anyone. It doesn't have to be for you. You can put the request in for someone else. All right, that's it. I'm so excited to have this guest on the show. She is, if you are listening to the show because you got the social media, the flyer that was in town, you know that this guest is super cute. She is what I call Minnie Mouse cute. She is so adorable. I want to pick her up and put her in a diaper and give her a bottle and carry her around. That's how cute she is. Her name is Holgie Forrester, and I just adore this woman. Now, let me tell you a little bit about her. Her first show, she has such an eclectic career, and she's so interesting. And one of the most interesting things that we're going to talk about today is she lives in a dome. How many people in this world do you know that lives in a house that is an actual dome? Well, I had this guy on the show, a lovely man named Greg Schwib. He is starting he got picked up and he's going to be distributed by this company on one of these television shows. And he goes around, he's a travel host, and his show got picked up. So he goes all around the world and he stays in people's houses and does like this whole, you know, comedy thing. And he likes unusual people, unusual houses. Well, I told him about Holgie and I said, oh my gosh, if there's any house that you want to stay in, you want to come and bring the cameras to Holgie's house. So I haven't even told her about this yet. It was supposed to be a Valentine's Day surprise, but I guess she knows now. So we'll talk about that. But this cool woman, this is to give you an idea of how cool this lady is. So her first job was Alice in Wonderland, touring the U.S. and Canada and Mexico for Disney and NBC. She co-created and originated a role in the off-Broadway improv comedy hit Grandma Sylvia's Funeral. And it ran 4 years at NYC's Soho Playhouse, and the script was published by Samuel French. Now, if you're into theater, you know that Samuel French is one of the two biggies that you go to get, like, your physical scripts. Like, back in the day, you needed to go there to get your scripts. I don't know where people get scripts because I'm not in theater anymore, but I don't know where they're going to get them now. But that's a big deal to have it published at Samuel French. She also received a Dramalogue Award for Tobacco Road at the Beverly Hills Playhouse, a Robbie nomination for So Long on Lonely Street at the Long Beach International City Theater, and a Desert Theater League Award for Lost in Yonkers, one of my favorite plays ever, at the Palm Springs Playhouse. Now, this woman, I'm telling you, she is the trip. Okay, so how many people not only, one, live in a house that's a dome, a real-life dome, and second fact, she's won $10,000, $10,000, on this reality show, or I think a game show, called Your Chance to Dance. I've never even heard of it, and I pretty much have... I know all the shows, so I want to find out where this show was or if it's still on. And she's also a regular on Elders React, which is her very own channel on YouTube. So you got to go to her YouTube channel and give her a little thumb, too. Her YouTube channel is Hoagie Day, H-O-L-G-I-E-D-A-Y. And she's got over 7,000 subscribers and counting. Now, her TV appearances include, now this is wild, I love it, one of my favorite shows, actually a couple of them. So, the Sonny and Cher show, she was on that, that's like old school. Tony Orlando and Dawn, that was a fun show. The Young and Restless, American Playhouse, I don't know if that's American and then Playhouse, two separate. There's a comma there. So American comma Playhouse. Saint Elsewhere. Oh, that was the show. ER. Oh, that was the show. Lifetime's The Wrong House. She played Caroline Brady's ghost on Days of Our Lives. And more recently, Hoagie appeared on the hit Food Network show Worst Cooks in America. And I saw her on that and I was screaming because I produced a film called As Evil Does a couple years ago. And she was one of the actresses in the film. So when I saw her, I said, oh, my gosh, there's Hoagie. And she was fantastic on the show. I love that show. I never miss an episode. And I love that they got Carla Hall on there now. Yay for Worst Cooks in America. She's so funny. But that's how we reconnected. And I reached out to her and we kind of got back in touch after years. Some of the films that she's been in include City Heat, Impulse, Darby Forever, Sophie Gold, The Diary of a Gold Digger, As Evil Does, which I just mentioned with Bill Cobbs, and I Spit on Your Grave, Deja Vu. And she has screened, her films have screened everywhere. Sundance, Slam Dance, the award-winning short Unspoken was at the Sedona International Film Festival. And the short Yogurt at the 2018 Cannes Film Festival. So again, go to IMDb and check her credits out. Again, Hoagie Forrester, H-O-L-G-I-E. F-O-R-R-E-S-T-E-R. And she's also on YouTube, which you gotta subscribe. And that's under Hoagie Day. So without further ado, let's welcome this super cool eclectic lady to the show. Yay, Hoagie!
I was impressed listening to you. Oh, my goodness. You made me impressed.
I made you feel impressed about yourself, and you're impressive, right? Well, it is exciting when you hear somebody else reading back your laurels and accolades. That's for sure for anybody. I always believe, Hoagie, that everybody deserve to be born with an invisible fan blowing our hair as we walk down the street. And we should have our own theme music that plays, right?
Why not?
Don't know where it comes from, but it should just be there. And every situation we're in, the theme music, there's dramatic effects, and then there's sad effects. But I just really believe that. I think another planet has that locked down. But I think you deserve hair blowing and theme music because you have done so many things. So first of all, we're going to get to all of your entertainment experience and skills. But first, I have to talk to you about some of the things you sent me that you wanted to have as promotion and discussion topics, because one of them was just super wild to hear. It blew my mind, and I just have to know what this is about. You said that you were hired for 8 years as a civilian on the battlefield for the United States Marine Corps to participate in the training of our troops for deployment to Iraq and Afghanistan. What the hell? How the hell did you? What? Tell us about this wild adventure. How did it come into fruition? What were you doing?
Like everything else, I just show up when there's an audition. And I showed up in Hollywood, and there were about 100 people there. And the Marines said they wanted role-playing civilians, which meant they really wanted actors that could go in the desert and live 10 days. And everything they packed out, and live under 114 temperatures in the summer, maybe the 125. I remember one day it was hit 125, and as cold as 14 in the winter, and that we would live in these war-torn villages that were built out in the Middle East, Mojave Desert, as if we were Iraqis or Afghans, and we would participate in the training where we would have troops of Marines come through and reenact what they were going to go through once they hit the ground running in the war theater. So we had to learn some Arabic, wear burqas, take intel. I did a lot of intel. I got a gold pen after 8 years for writing the most intel reports of anyone in the field, so that when the troops came through to our village, I realized that as a female in an Arabic country, I couldn't do anything unless I did something independently, because you had to be sheltered by a man and stay mostly in the villages. But I became a cafe owner, and through my tenacity, I collected furniture from around the desert, and I traded cold sodas for the Marines for camel netting, and put up a cafe with a canopy, and it ended up being the focal point of the village and had a lot of traffic through there. And so most anything that happened through the villages out there happened in my little Samira's Cafe, they called it. And I observed everything, and I wrote things down at the end of the day and turned them in, because they wanted to know how the boys were interacting with the foreigners. And there were mostly Iraqis, and there was about, when we first got out there, there were 500, and there was about 475 Americans. But as soon as they were able to hire more foreign language speakers, it turned around to being about 475 Iraqis and Afghans and about 25 Americans. And the ones that got to stay, you had to be invited back every mission. You weren't just automatically hired. You had to be invited each mission. And I ended up as one of two female Americans that ended up doing the whole 8 years out there in the training.
Unbelievable. You were there for 8 years. I see films, of course, and television shows and stories and documentaries, and I would think personally it would be a hard life. I cannot imagine, but you're so flexible and you go with the flow, so it probably was very easy for you. It wouldn't be so easy for me, but that is kudos to you for doing that. That is absolutely amazing that you stayed there 8 years. What was that during the early 90s?
That was during it started in 2008 and went to 2016. And in the beginning, we were in Iraq. So I worked through the whole Iraqi surge, and we adjusted the training according to what was happening overseas. So we would have to learn new missions. And I went from being just a regular role player, like I said, running that cafe that became sort of the focal point of, there were two main villages of my village. And then they elevated to me to what they called a family leader. And then you were in charge of one family, and you would delegate as orders came down to others what to do. And then they elevated me to what they call tribal controllers, where I was really in charge of three different tribes. And I had to delegate to them, like, you're going to go through that checkpoint. You're going to be driving a dirty car that has explosives on it. We'll see if the Marines can find it. You're going to turn in an unexploded device and see if they'll take it from you. You're going to go to the job fair. You're going to go tell them that, the Marines accidentally blew up your house and you need remuneration for that. I had to carry out all these orders that would come down from the Marines and then delegate them to people. And then they saw that I was so organized, I was so anal about everything, they brought me into what they called the UN compound. And I became sort of secondhand assistant to the project manager. And I was in charge of all the weapons that went out, all the costumes that went out, all the vehicles, all the weapons, all the flak and Kevlar, because we would do they would do extractions where the helicopter would come in and the Marines would drop down and they had 10 seconds to find the bad guy and extract him and take him away, just like they did in when they went and got the gentleman in Afghanistan. So I had to supply all those things to those people and then make sure that they were all came back into inventory at the end of each mission.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and I really thrived on it. I loved it. I really loved it.
Do you know what, Hoagie? I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but my mind has already concluded what needs to happen with this story of your life. You need to make a film out of this story. This needs to be a film. No, I'm not. I'm very serious. I'm not even joking. You need to get together with some producers and really make a film out of your life, because I've never in my mind, and I've seen a lot of movies, 100,000.
Yes.
And I've never seen a movie like this. So I hope somebody doesn't steal my idea while I'm talking to you, because I'm telling you right now, this movie is huge. But actually, I hope they do steal it and they contact you and that you get to write the script or help write the script, because you need to get together with some producers and make this happen. This is a fantastic.
Yeah, it's a fascinating.
Story.
It is a fascinating.
Yeah, as long
story.
As you didn't sign anything.
I feel
anything.
Like I was part of history.
I don't know if you signed anything where you can't, tell about your stories, but I think that I'm telling you, Hoagie, this is a Oscar-winning idea. I know Oscar-winning
idea. Yeah, it could be. I agree with you. And what we did was not confidential, but it was sensitive when we were doing it. But now that it's completed, I definitely have the freedom to talk about the experiences.
Oh,
yeah, definitely.
My gosh. I see this story happening. Please, somebody contact Hoagie. And if you're smart, you're going to ride this story to the top, because this is a winner. You know, people like biopics. They like the true story. So let me know if that happens, because I want to announce that.
Well, maybe get
show.
You involved. You're
oh,
very
my
organized
gosh.
About all this
yeah.
kind of thing.
Well, I do comedies, but hey, I can refer you to some people. We'll talk about that privately. All right, let's move on, because you got so many things happening. Dome house, living in a dome house, just real quick, because people are going to want to know, how did this lady end up in a dome house? It's the coolest thing ever.
Well, my husband, who's a world-class muralist, and I came through the city of 29 Palms on our Harley going to the river run in Laughlin one year. And they had hamburgers, hot dogs, and homemade cookies out for the bikers that came through. I said, oh, let's stop and enjoy some of that. And I saw these beautiful murals here. And I said, how did these come about? And they said, well, we hire muralists from all over the world. And I said, excuse me, we've got one right here. So one of the lovely ladies went home and got the paperwork, and he submitted. And before you know it, he was commissioned to do a 101-foot mural, a historical mural outside that actually honored the Marines who served in Desert Storm. He was commissioned to do that. So he did that while I was in New York in Grandma Sue's funeral. And when I came back and they unveiled it, they dropped the American flag and they had the curtain over the mural, and they sang, "I'm proud to be an American." And the general spoke and the city officials spoke, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And then they saw this beautiful mural unveiled, and someone came up to us and they said, "Oh, by the way, there is this geodesic dome that's come on the market up on the top of the hill over there that overlooks the whole Morongo Basin. And would you like to look at it?" The gentleman's highly motivated to sell that built it. And we were like, never thought of leaving Hollywood, but let's check out this dome. And the minute I walked in, it has 20 feet up the front because it's 4,200 square feet and it's built into the mountain. So it's only four steps going down the back. And I walked up on this 365-degree redwood deck that surrounds the dome. And I walked into the first sliding glass door, of which there's three on this level. And I looked up and the dome was open to three more levels and had a three-story fireplace that I'm sitting in front of. And I made a fire tonight. I went out in the desert and gathered the firewood. And I said in myself, I said, "Oh, my goodness. If we could swing this, I'd never want for anything more. I could do this for the duration." And I had been all over the world touring and stayed all kinds of places and lived in New York and lived here and there. But I never felt like I put my roots down and say, "Okay, I'm good." Right. I was always searching for the next thing. But when I stepped in and I said, "Oh my gosh, this, I would be content. If we can swing this, I'll be content for the rest of my life."
And there you are. And how long have you been there now?
We bought it in 1998, just as Grandma Sylvia's was about to close and I was flying back and forth. We negotiated the contract as back and forth to New York while I was doing the off-Broadway play there.
Oh, my gosh. I still got to get to that dome house. I swear.
Yeah, pretty incredible.
Are you open to, as I just kind of threw this out at you, but I've always been so impressed with that idea, and I watch all those shows about the, you know, the tree houses and the little houses. I love it.
So when I had the
guest on who just got picked up for distribution of his show, I said, "Oh my gosh, you got to meet Hoagie. She has a dome house." He said, "A dome house? I can't believe it." I'm like, "You gotta have her in your travel show." So I said, "I'm gonna have her on the show and talk to her about it. And if she's interested, then I'll put you guys in contact." So how open are you to having your house filmed on a travel show?
Oh, well, very open, because I also went to Sweden doing the Great Swedish Adventure. And before you leave for that adventure, they come to your home in America and they had drones flying over the top of the dome and they filmed this from off in the distance. And it was amazing because they like to introduce the contestants in their home environment and then watch them leave for this adventure off to Sweden, because I was born in Sweden, and they take you back to your roots. And I saw Kalmar Castle and where my great-grandfather was born, in a little hovel not far from Kalmar Castle, and sailed to America on one of the ships when he was a young man and started his family in Windham, Kansas. And that's where my father was born. And so I got to discover all that. So we love people that come here and do that. We even had a commercial shot here. You know, Chase Bank has these, we use the Chase Discover, the business card, and they had a little vignette where they want to introduce people that have unusual business and unusual home offices within their home. The bottom floor is the art studio, and it used to be a drive-in where you drove in and parked, but we put railroad ties and glass on the north side, so my husband has north light to paint by, and so that's become his studio and his man cave, and that's where he treats all his clients and gives painting lessons.
He literally has a man cave, like literally and figuratively.
Totally.
He has a man cave. I tell you, this woman, she, you know, there's a Ralph Waldo Emerson poem. She walks in beauty like the night, like cloudless climes and stars, got blah, blah, blah. This woman, when I met her, Hoagie, you have always reminded me of a person that would have been written in a Ralph Waldo Emerson poem, because you just float through life and things just are, you're like a magnet and things are just attracted to you to happen. And you know, that's not an average thing in the life of a person. No. You got to realize how special you are. Now, let's go back to your origin story, because we only have like 10 minutes left, but I want to try to get as much in as possible. Well, let's go back to your origin story. When, I guess it's a two-part question. So when did you know that your career focus would be in the entertainment industry? What was your first professional job in Hollywood, and how did you book it as an actress?
Okay. Well, I was born in Kansas and we came out to California, and I went to Sacramento High School, and I worked in the professional music circus there because I was dancing with the Sacramento City Ballet, and they wanted some young ballet dancers to participate in some of the shows. At Music Circus was the Professional Equity Music Circus that still runs in Sacramento. And I got a taste of that, and I said, and unfortunately, my mother, who had taken me to ballet lessons after she took me to see the Red Shoes, because I wouldn't stop dancing until she promised me lessons. And I studied for 15 years and I became a soloist with the Sacramento Civic Ballet. And then my mother got cancer when I was 15 and passed away.
Oh.
And it was devastating to me. And I didn't know, I was just, it was like this whole apocalypse. And I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? And my father was very strict. He's Swedish, like I say. And I thought, well, he always wanted me to go to college. And I was like, no, I'm going to be a dancer. And I thought, wait a minute, that's a way to get out of the house right after high school. I'll tell him I want to go to college.
Right.
So I applied to San Jose State and San Francisco State, and I got accepted by both. But I ended up going to San Jose because I had a girlfriend who was a couple of years ahead of me and was already there. So she could show me around and show me the ropes. And when I got to San Jose State, I went to my first audition. I didn't even know you weren't supposed to audition for the senior musicals. No one told me that. And I walked in and I got a part in The Music Man. And I got on stage and I went, oh, wait a minute. I thought, because I saw the Red Shoes, I wanted to be a dancer. But it took me 15 years to figure out, no, I wasn't mesmerized by the media of dance. I was mesmerized by the media of film.
Isn't that? This is, Hoagie, this is what I've been telling people. You know, they come out here. Yeah, so that is a perfect, perfect story, because people come out here all the time thinking primarily they want to be an actor, right? And they're out here for years and years, and then they say, you know what? I don't really like acting. I want to be a director. I want to be a producer. Hey, I like being a makeup artist. So that's a perfect story, because Joel, you may think that you want to do something really bad, but then something happens like it did with Hoagie, and you end up taking another job, and you find your life passion.
Yes.
So if it doesn't work out, don't be worried, because that's not, it wasn't supposed to. Now let's move on to the next one. Now you know, being an actor today is primarily being booked through these, especially with COVID, being booked through making self-tape auditions. So can you please tell the aspiring actor a little bit about the process? You know, how do you really make a great self-tape audition to definitely book the job? Any tips? Because people think just because they make a self-tape, they're going to get the job. No, there are secrets to it, honey. Go ahead, Hoagie.
Yes.
Tell them the secrets.
Okay, the first thing you do, you need a tripod. You need to get the phone out of your hand. So you need a steady tripod. Then you need a place in your house where you can clear the background so there's nothing in the background. So I have a corner of my house this is Knotty Pine, all interior. So I have a beautiful area that I can take down all the paintings and all, take away the plants and take away everything. So you have a completely nude background, nothing to distract. Then this third thing is wear something very simple, no colors, no patterns, no prints, no stripes. Put your makeup on. Do a beautiful makeup job, depending on the role you're going for. Fix your hair. Make sure the lighting is good. Even if I have a lamp that I know these people buy these circle lamps, but you don't have to buy that. You can take a lamp that you can unplug from another part in the house, one of those standing lamps, put it behind the camera and face it at you. And then test yourself. Look in the camera, make a test video, and then look at the lighting, because the lighting is everything. If they can't see your face and see your expressions, you're wasting your time. The next thing you do is don't read, memorize, because you cannot give any kind of real performance unless you already know the lines. I know a lot of people try to tape things up next to their phones and just read it. No, it never is as truthful as knowing your lines. So prep, really prep and know those lines inside out and backwards. Then if you're making a self-tape, make sure that it's from about the waist up. And just leave very little headroom above you, and you don't need to go any further than your waist, and make sure that your face is very clear and your wardrobe is very simple and your background is very simple. Then, depending on the scene, if you're looking at one person or you're looking at two people or you're looking at three people, place them in the room and practice. Look in the camera as if you're talking to someone and then someone on the right has distracted you and interrupted. Use that eye line. Look at that eye line and then play it back. Does that look truthful? Does that really look like I'm responding to someone on my right? Does that look like I'm responding to someone on my left? Does that look like I'm looking over the shoulder of someone and looking past them? That's very important because the eye line is everything, and it gives you a room to be flexible, and it looks much more truthful. And I know a lot of people use readers. My husband, he's not the greatest. He's an amazing artist, but he's not an actor. And he will read the lines off camera for me.
Right.
But really, truthfully, if there are not a lot of lines for the other person, lots of times I do them without. Because if you are very convincing and you're listening, and you're really responding to what's being spoken to you, and the way you respond to something, you can almost tell what the other person has said. Or I might even repeat something that they said, oh, Friday, you know, Friday will work for me. You see? So you've just mentioned what the person said.
Absolutely.
How about Friday? Yeah, Friday's good. That'll work for me. You know, you might even add a couple words there, because you don't need the sound of someone else's voices off camera, because that you're wasting time. In a lot of casting directors and people that cast you, they don't want to see a lot of time where you're just being still, or you're just reacting. You don't need to go on and on with those blank spaces.
Absolutely.
So make it short, make it real, make it honest, and breathe. Don't just know the lines, breathe something into that character. You have to bring something to that character that's unusual, unique, because everyone is unique. And so you have to be very honest and don't try to perform. Just be in the moment.
Just be. All right. So that's fantastic advice. You're absolutely right. Casting directors hate that stuff. Okay. So there are many different career paths in the entertainment industry, and there are many skills that you really need to build a successful career, as with anything, really. But In your opinion, to be successful in show business, what do you feel are the first three skills that an aspiring actor should pursue and master? People get confused, Hoagie, on, you know, there's method acting, there's English mask, there's so many different. How do you know? I guess that's what I get the question most of all. How do you know what acting style you're compatible with? Do you just take them all, try method, try an advanced, Viola Spola? Do you just do it all until you it just fits? Or, but that's some a lot of damn money, a lot of money.
Yeah, well, the you have to be very careful who you train with. It's just like going to a doctor. You know, you have to have a simpatico with the person that you're receiving the coaching from. So you should always take a observational class before you sign up with anyone. You want to sit in and see how this person interacts with the people. Does this person, is that someone you want to listen to, that you respect, that you want to interact with? Because there are a lot of different ways people, and I don't care what style, because I don't think there is a style. If you watch film today and movies today and television today, it's even more realistic than it ever was before.
Yeah.
It's just they're bringing the honesty to the situation,
yes,
the real emotion, not showing us being that emotion, being in that place. So it doesn't matter. I don't really care about styles. I care about having a coach that you really feel speaks to you, that you connect with in some level, that makes you feel like, I could definitely learn something from this person. I respect them, and I know that they would nurture me, you know, because that's what you need. And everybody has different techniques. And some people you'll walk in, and in the first 5 minutes, you'll say, oh, no, this is not the fellow for me. Like, I'm sorry, but I went to train with Strasberg when he came out to Hollywood, and I was in the first class, and that all these exercises of laying on the floor and getting down to zero and people moaning and groaning. By the second class, I said, I'm out. I can't do this. I went and asked for my money back.
I can't do this. Oh my God, Hoagie. I know. I was asked when I first started taking acting classes, they wanted me to be a tree and a twig. I'm like, just give me a damn cocktail and I'm going to sit here and audit this class. That's what Hoagie means. Audit the glass. Just ask to audit. A lot of acting teachers don't want to do it, but you know what? If they don't want you to do it, then that's not
that's
the class.
That tells you something right there. That would tell me something right there, that wouldn't be a good person for me to train with. No way.
Exactly. Yes. And a lot of people do that. So if they say, no, I'm sorry, well, you say, you know what? I'm sorry, you won't be getting my cashola today. Next. Okay.
That's
so.
Right.
Real quick, you are so special, and you just make your own opportunities. You present your own path, and that is what you're doing right now on your own YouTube channel, which is people. If the phone is not ringing, if they're not beating your damn door down, especially now during COVID, you got to start making your own projects. And Hoagie, that's exactly what you do. You have started, I don't know how long it's been, but you started your own YouTube channel called Hoagie Day. I love it. And I need to know, you know, in today's world, most experts, social media experts, marketing, networking, they say that you have to have exposure and showcase yourself and your projects on every social media site. It is a nightmare. I have found that most actors tell me that it's a pain in the ass. They hate doing it. They just want to focus on the craft, but they know that they have to do it for self-exposure. With you being successful as you have been, having your own YouTube channel, can you tell us your reasoning for just being on YouTube? Because people, I don't know if you realize this, but I didn't announce any social media sites for Hoagie. She is only on YouTube and IMDb. So what is your reasoning? How can you give comfort to actors who just want to be on one thing and don't want to do all that?
Well, like I just shot an episode Friday of with Wayne Brady of Let's Make a Deal. So like, see, I'm always doing something. My life is so busy, truthfully, just pursuing. I made 3 self-tapes in one day about this week, earlier this week. So I already have so much on my plate, And I stay so busy, like you say, by self-motivating, just by being proactive, that it's enough for me to get much attention. I mean, I know that I have certain skills and that I have certain appeal to people. And I know that I have just so much energy that I want to put towards what I'm doing in the moment, that I can't sit around all day worrying about if I have an Instagram account or a Twitter account or a Google account. I can barely keep up with my own life. I always feel like I'm behind my own life trying to catch up with it.
I know. And you know, you go and your whole, you know, your goal may start out as I'm just going to post my projects or I'm just going to post this video. And you start out, Hoagie, just wanting to focus on yourself and network and market yourself. Son of a bitch, if you're not on there for 8 hours trolling everybody else's site because you find something, you're like, oh, I want to like that, or I want to like that, oh, I got to make a comment here. And the next thing you know, 8 hours of your life have gone by and you just got too distracted. I find it's just so distracting. So you really
have your life away. I'd rather be doing, yeah, I'd rather be living doing. Life. I'd rather
right.
be doing, let's make a deal and have Wayne Brady tell me he loves my spirit. You know, I'd rather be out there actually doing something than writing about something or promoting something. I'd rather just be doing it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So you know what her Hoagie's message to you is? Don't worry about, you know, posting all day on all these social media sites. Focus on your art, your craft, making your own YouTube channel. If you build it, they will come, I think
exactly.
is Hoagie's theme, right? Field a dream.
I've always said you have to do one thing every day towards that goal.
At
one
least.
Thing. You don't have to do everything in one day, but just one, every day of your life, you do one thing that gets you closer to whatever you perceive yourself as doing. Then that, and then you're doing it.
Yeah.
One
and
thing.
And I love your I love your belief. You said that your belief is to be open to all possibilities that life has to mm-hmm. offer. And you are, because if it wasn't for the things that you just spoke about today, you wouldn't have gotten the cool projects that you've had. I mean, you've been on some of the top projects ever. You've won awards. You've been on game shows, reality shows. I saw you. I really wanted to know, because you know, World's Worst Cook is one of my favorites. I really wanted to know how you got on that show and what goes on behind the scenes of how those people are really chosen, because I would think that you would be a fantastic cook. So I'm like, how the hell did Hoagie get on that show? She's not a worst cook. So I'm like, wondering. No, so give me the scoop on it.
No, I cooked one time in my life in 19, when I was in college and I was a hippie. And one time I made a dinner for my history professor, and I made it from scratch with the salad and the fried chicken and the mashed potatoes from scratch and a big salad and a cake that I frosted. And I said, that's too much work. I'm never doing that again. I never cooked again.
My husband
is a wonderful cook. And even he said to me, well, honey, I don't think you'll do very well on this show.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway,
So it's true.
I had a friend that had been on the show, and he told me about it. He lived in Las Vegas. And I said, oh, what the hey? Because I just submit for everything. I mean, I submit sometimes for things I don't even want, because I like the exercise of auditioning. I like the exercise of making the tape, because I always figure you just get better at it. I like the exercise of going on the open call and just showing up. And because every time you get over the nervousness, you get over the anticipation, you just go out there and do it. Just do it. And you find yourself getting better at it. And so there was a... They had some open call where they said, you know, submit. And so I submitted and I showed up and I talked like you and I are talking now. And they said, oh, we love your personality. Yes, you're coming to New York. The next thing I knew, I was flying out to New York. And the thing that cracked me up is, you know, on the show, they say, okay, now this week we're going to learn to do it. No, that's not this week. They do it in about like 10 days. And so when they say, oh, this week we're going to, no, that was yesterday. And you slept for maybe 3 or 4 hours and they got you up crack at dawn and you're back in the studio. And they're like, oh, now that you're rested, we're going to learn how to, you know, bake a lobster or something. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. No, we just got to, because you do the cooking and then there's interviews afterwards and you're up till who knows how late. And then they convey you back to the, you know, that they put you up in Chelsea and then, you know, they wake you up crack at dawn and you're back in the studio and you're competing again. And by the time you get anywhere near the end, like I got down to the last third, you're just exhausted.
Oh, I bet. Now, how is Anne Burrell? How working with
her? I love her. She's scary. I mean, when you see her, sometimes you really intimidate her, but she's actually very good to her team. That's why she wins a lot, because she's actually very good with the individual people when she's coaching them. She's very explicit about what she wants. She's very clear. So at first she's a little intimidating, but I was chosen by Chef Tyler, who I love.
Oh, love him. He's so sexy.
I would marry if I wasn't married to
Kelly. I know! Me too!
I was thinking, oh, I'd jump his bones in about 2 seconds.
Me too. I'd take him on a horsey ride for sure. Yeah. But I was definitely always scared. I love her, but I'm scared of her coming at me with that red paint to ink my finger. So
because if you put the knife wrong, she puts that red ink on your hand. Yeah, everybody ends up with that
I'm really glad to hear that show's legit and that none of the people are experts, because I've seen a lot of them. I thought there's no way the person is the worst cook. So they genuinely, for real,
I had to make an audition tape and I said, okay, this is my typical meal. And I stood in front of a microwave and I had my friend who I stay with in LA when I'm doing auditions or jobs where I have to stay overnight. And I said, you hold the camera. Now I'm going to take these frozen, chicken McNuggets, and I put them on a plate from frozen, and I threw it in the microwave, heated it up, took it out, threw some carrots on the plate, threw some radishes on the plate, and I think some ranch dressing. Okay, that's my dinner.
Oh, well, that's definitely a winner for sure. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm so glad to hear, because that's one of my favorite shows. So I'm glad to hear it's legit, Worst Cooks in America. So we're going to wrap it up now, but I wanted to give you an opportunity to say anything you want to people who are aspiring to live the great life that you've lived. What, other than what we've already said, what tips, advice, resource, information do you want to give people that are following in your craft of your career?
Okay, when you wake up the morning and you first open your eyes, just realize how grateful you are for just being healthy and being able to wake up and see the sunshine and know that the world is full of endless possibilities. And all you have to do is seize the day, go out and do it, be proactive, show up, be willing to put in the work, be willing to extend yourself. Have no doubts, just jump in. Anytime someone told me, you know, would you jump off the cliff for a great adventure or would you stay in a safe place? I would always be the one who would run and jump off the cliff and you know, fly without a net. Because what have you got to lose? We're all here for a limited amount of time. We don't have a lot of time. You're lucky if you get 100 years. Most people get 60, 70, 80, you know, and it goes fast. And the older you get, the faster it goes. Yes. So you seize the day and you take advantage of it immediately, because you don't get to go back and do rewind. You don't get a second chance, a third chance. This is it. You're living it. And even in the pandemic, you know, where we've had to make adjustments and do all these things remotely, you know, do these little videos for different companies where you're setting up your tripod and you're doing your own lighting and your costumes and your wardrobe. And it's worth it, because you know, if you're willing to do it, you only get better at it. And someone will see that you have the talent and everyone's unique, and someone will look for that you, you know, they'll find you. But you have to be willing to put yourself out there to do that. You have to take the risk. I mean, I had one audition for a game show where I ended up winning. I went off to Argentina to swim with snakes. And the audition was at the infield of at Santa Anita Racetrack on opening race day. And there were thousands of people out there, and you had to line up, and there was a table of three judges in the middle of the racetrack. And you had 2 minutes to dazzle them. Well, guess what? I went anyway. I showed up with the 2,000 people, and I guess I dazzled them in my 2 minutes, because I'm always willing to show up and give my little spiel. And I ended up going to Argentina. I mean, if I would have said, oh, no, it's too much trouble. I won't find the parking. I don't want to wait in line. And, you know, it's hot. It's race day. It's crowd. You know, don't limit yourself. Just do it. Jump in. Do it. Participate. That's really my advice. Go for it.
Yeah. What's the worst could happen? If you're going to die, you're going to die pursuing a career that you decided to pursue anyway. Or you can win $10,000, go to Argentina, or end up working 8 years for the government. There are so many. Hoagie, girl, we have got to have you back on the show, because little do these people know, we haven't even touched a 16th of your amazing life. And may you grace me with your presence is my only wish. Will you come back and talk again and be with us and share your story? Oh my gosh, we got Hoagie to commit again. Yay! We're going to try to get her for the fall. Find out what she's doing for the fall. That's what we're going to do.
And who knows? So, I don't even know. Doing game shows. You know, you never know.
Don't be at the top of Kilimanjaro, for God's sake, sorry?
I can do that. Yeah. That's my skydive. Right. Grandma's skydive for the first time.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I did that. It was the greatest adventure of my life. Oh, my gosh. I've got to hear about your adventure. But we want to tell everyone, please go to Hoagie's YouTube page, and it is Hoagie Day.com. Oh, no, it's just Hoagie Day. You got to go to YouTube.com and you type Hoagie Day, Hoagie Day, and you can check out some of her super cool videos. And we're going to have you back. And we thank you so much for coming on the show, Hoagie. You are the best in the West, literally, girl. And I'm going to put you in touch with Greg and see if he can film at the dome. We're coming out there.
Okay,
but I cook.
But
when I come to your house, I'm going to cook.
Oh, you go right ahead.
You're not cooking. You're out in the kitchen. Okay,
yeah,
sweetie.
Go right ahead. Be my guest.
Say goodbye to your fans.
Goodbye, everyone, and happy Valentine's Day. And my darling cowboy Western artist husband gave me 3 red roses, big box of chocolates, and a bunch of dark chocolate little hearts. He overdid himself and a beautiful heart.
Oh, yeah. So sweet. Oh, well, he's such a, well, maybe he'll cook too. Maybe you'll get a ribeye steak.
Oh, he's the best. Yeah, I just let him take over. Yeah. I make the coffee. That's about it.
Oh, again, thank you for being on the show. Thank everybody. I hope you have a wonderful remaining Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
Okay, bye. Love you all. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.